This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the BBC.
Well, thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4. Now, in 2010, Nikki Segnett published a book called The Flavour Thesaurus. She's now brought out another, and this one has a somewhat more mysterious title. It's called Lateral Cooking, which to me is an entirely new concept. To be explained, as she demonstrates the method as she cooks the perfect flat bread and crackers. Nikki, simply, what is lateral cooking?
Lateral cooking is basically learning one starting point recipe and then being able to apply the principle across lots and lots of different ingredients and different tweaks, and then move from that starting point to another recipe that's very similar to it and do a whole load of other things based on that one as well. So you learn to cook by just simple steps. So one dish kind of leads to another. It's all connected up.
How can we demonstrate it then with crackers and flatbread? You're stirring away like mad there.
So what I'm doing, I'm making a really simple dough. But what this is it's 250 grams of flour, a teaspoon of salt, and 150 ml of water. And you make a well, you pour the water in, and you bring it all together in a nice squidgy dough. And what lateral cooking is to me is this is just flour and water, but it could be freshly grated coconut and a bit of oil to make a Sri Lankan pole roti. It could be buckwheat flour and a bit of ordinary flour brought together to make Japanese, they're called nihachi noodles. We can make matzo crackers this way. We can use masa harina to make tortillas or tacos. They're all made in a really kind of basic, simple way. So I just feel like if you learn one thing, you can learn, it sort of blooms and flourishes into lots and lots of different ideas.
You've called it a bread continuum.
Yes.
Why a continuum?
Well, it's a continuum because, so this is at the end of the continuum because it's so simple. It's just a simple dough, and then we can roll it out and say, make a flatbread or a cracker. If we put
are you saying you use exactly the same dough to make a flatbread?
You just change the flour. So if we're using masa harina to make a tortilla instead of using wheat flour, I might put a bit of lard in it instead of butter. But then you're just rolling it out very thin and then cooking it on a pan on the hob exactly the same as you would an ordinary flatbread, yes. And there's just dozens of different versions of the same thing. But we're used to seeing them all in kind of different recipe books. We never necessarily join them up together, they're the same thing. And that's what I'm doing with lateral cooking, is saying these are variations on a theme.
But if your aim is to try and get people to cook, I suppose instinctively,
yeah,
without a recipe, how can you do that using lateral cooking principles when you don't necessarily know which is the right kind of flour to use, whether to put the lard in or not?
Well, the book is obviously, in order to learn to cook instinctively, you need a bit of a guide. So the book is a guide to that. And so you have the starting point recipe, which will say this is, you know, you use the flour and the water, and then there's a list of leeways. So it's that's where I can say, actually, if you switch this, you can make this, and you can, you know, maybe if you're making something and you don't have enough eggs for a cake, it will tell you actually you don't need that many. So the book is there to hold your hand, obviously. So the presiding spirit of the instinctual cook is the Italian nonna, who kind of makes everything by, you know, just by her senses. And the reason that she can do that is that her mother or her grandmother taught her to cook like that. And most of us don't have a mother or a grandmother to teach us like that. So the lateral cooking is going to be the Italian nonna in a way. It's going to be the person that tells you all the different things you can do and the little different tweaks that you can make.
So what you're doing now is rolling out a small bit, actually, of the dough.
Yeah. So sometimes if you're doing something like, I mean, you can roll it out bigger. It's really going to depend on the size of your pan. So we're going to roll it out to a size that will fit in the frying pan. The only thing we have to do with these, whether it's tortillas or flatbreads, is make sure that they're rolled out thin. And you can see I'm using a nice plastic rolling surface, which if you're not used to rolling out thin things thin is really, really great. So we have a nice thin flatbread here to go on the on the frying pan, which is hopefully nice and hot.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Is it sizzling quite as we would have expected?
I think it's it's warm perhaps rather than sizzling, but hopefully all will be okay and it will turn into a crispy, crunchy, slightly charred, delicious flatbread, which will be more delicious than any kind of pita bread that you can buy in the shops.
And the crackers are all ready.
Yes, so I've made some oat cakes with the same kind of dough as we've used for the flatbread, except I've used some oatmeal and some brown flour. And I've used a little bit of lard and some hot water, brought it together as a dough, rolled it out exactly the same. And then I have actually cooked these this morning on the hob like I do the flatbread. But you know, it's better to make them in the oven, but they can be cooked like that. Then you, particularly if you only want to make a few.
So what, you cut the batter quite small. I mean, they're small circles, aren't they?
Yeah.
And you just put that onto the heat? There's no fat involved in
that. That's right. Just cook them on the hob like that. So they're, you know, they're nice fresh oat cakes. Whereas the flatbread, yes, is a bigger, softer thing. But yes, just one basic formula, 100 different ways of making it.
How, when you were really obsessed with flavours in your first book, did you get onto this idea that there was a relationship between recipes?
Well, because what I had to do when I was writing the flavour of the sauce, which I'd never done before, was to I had to start adapting recipes in order to try lots of different flavour combinations. And so I started to collect a file of these starting points so it would make it easy if I had to try, you know, weird outlandish things. Then I could just flick through my file and say, OK, I'm going to try that in a sponge cake, or I'm going to try that in a creme brulee or something. So I started this file and then I thought, wow, this file is really useful. And then I started to think, well, maybe this file would be useful to other people as well who want to you know, either cook without recipes or adapt them. But you need perhaps either a little guide or some inspiration. There's lots of ideas here. It's like the flavour thesaurus. I've collected lots and lots of different interesting ideas from across the world, from, you know, from interesting chefs, from brilliant food writers.
And it doesn't just apply to bread, obviously. So let's take another example. I make a lot of stews and soups. What are the connections, let's say, between a beef stew and a chicken soup?
Well, so the stock soup and stew continuum in my book starts with stock. It's like a lot of the beginnings of the continuums. It's here are the basic principles. And the thing that we need to learn when we're making a stock is it's a reciprocal agreement between the solids and the liquid, the water in that case. And as we go through from, say, stock to broth to soup to chowder to stew, what you find out is nearly always you're making those things in exactly the same way. So, and I actually take the continuum for that through to bean stews, to dal, to risotto, because it's always about brokering that relationship between the solids and the liquid. And, you know, often, you know, you start browning a whole selection of vegetables, then you brown the meat. You're always pretty much doing the same thing depending on, I mean, stock soups and stews are about how long does this take to cook and how long does it take to give deliciousness to the liquid. So the connection is really strong. And really, I think that is one of the places where people do improvise quite a lot with cooking, even if they feel that they can't do that so much with breads and cakes and biscuits because it's baking.
Yeah, I rather over-improvised with the chicken soup I made this week. And my son, who came round to share it with me, said, "Mum, there's too much chicken in this chicken soup," as indeed there was. I'm going to try that after the cereal because it's not quite as crisped up as it should be, is it?
It isn't. It should be lovely and black.
It will be by the time we've heard the cereal. So, Nikki, thank you for the moment. Now, Nikki Segnit, I have eaten both the crackers. They were very good. I had it with hummus, which you provided. They were very oaty and crunchy. And now, the flatbread, which will crunch.
Hopefully. Be nice and crisp.
Yes, crunching. And did you put some butter on the top of it?
I brushed a little bit of butter on the top, yeah.
I'm just going to give it a little crunch. Very nice. Fragrant, bready. And you didn't put any oil in the pan when you fried it, did you?
No, the thin dough just goes straight in the pan, the heat will seal it, and then hopefully it'll puff up a bit and then char a bit.
Definitely better than the ones you buy in the shops.
Thank you very much.
Nikki Segnit, thank you very much indeed. You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.